Guys, are you looking for that extra confidence when it's time to have fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. BlueChew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. BlueChew is also an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, all done online. Blue Chew's tablets, made in the United States, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code URBAN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code URBAN to receive your first month free.
Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. What's going on, fellas?
I always let Ray go first, man.
I knew you were going to say that.
What's happening?
I knew you were going to say that. You don't have to defer to me, sir.
I mean, you missed the 85%. You know, 85 is greater than, you know, what I am. So, you know.
What is happening? Go Did I miss first, something man. During the break?
Nothing. I'm doing splendid. I'm doing splendid. I can't complain.
I appreciate the splendid compliment to yourself. And I appreciate the word, I guess, I'm trying to say. We always get to nothing much, man. That's what most people, shout out to my man Glenn Thomas. He says the same thing. Nothing much, man.
Go ahead.
Hey, it's a blessing to be alive. My brothers, what's good?
That's true, man. I was in the gym and some dude said the same thing. Like, every day you wake up is a good day. You know what I mean? We have folks out here who haven't had that don't have that opportunity. So, yeah, it's a blessing, man. I'm here with the fellas, man. It's always a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Real recognition. I see how that awkward falls. I know. I felt like, damn, that should have been a real talk. Ray, you said that's a real talk. That was a good throwing.
It's too early. Right, it's too early for real talk. That was a mic drop all the time, man.
I thought we was going to feel all the love, you know, the vibe and everything. See, Ray, you let me down. That's messed up, dog.
I'm sorry. Empire Media, let's do it.
Hey, I said this on Twitter, I think I said this on the text, but, you know, obviously big news with Washington Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin signed his extension. We'll talk about that in another show, so there's no need for us to, like, harp on to that. You know, if you listen to All Birdie and Go Erie thing, we'll talk about that there, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit next week anyway. So, but if you're waiting for the urban sports scene, you know, debate or conversation about that, just tune in next week, or again, check us out on All Burgundy and Go Everything. But yeah, right, we mentioned Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kine, and Jones Football, hosted by US Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And don't forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
The Urban Sports Scene can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sportcasters, and sports debates.
Sportcasters, I love it, Will. That's why you're not 85%, yo.
The 85%. I don't know what's going on. Hey, Will T, come on, man. Let's just do our thing, bro. Let's do our thing right
Let's
now.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards drafting Wisconsin guard Johnny Davis and Bradley Beal reportedly going to sign the Supermax deal with the Wizards. Finally, in our segment HBCU Corner, we'll have a pre-tape interview with Yard Talk HBCU.
With the 10th overall pick, this is my Adam Silver moment. The Washington Wizards select Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin. Did the Washington Wizards make the best selection possible? Will T, what's your thoughts, bro?
Will? Did we lose Will?
I was on mute. My bad.
Y'all was about to say, what's happening?
Already, Will?
No, I had to cough. I didn't want to mess up the production of the show by coughing while you were talking.
Respect.
All right, let me do it over.
Do it again, bro. We need the moment. We need to capture the moment.
With the 10th overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft, Washington Wizards select Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin. Will T, did the Wizards make the right selection?
They made a good selection. I don't necessarily know if it's right. I think the one thing that this team has lacked historically is a guy that that can protect the rim. And in today's NBA, you need a guy who's a rim runner, can protect the rim, protect the floor. I think that guy was Jalen Duren out of Memphis.
Yeah.
But I do like this Johnny Davis pick because, you know, just looking at how Bradley Beal's game has matured or become better over the years, I think Johnny Davis has the type of game that can will definitely complement him in the backcourt.
Ray, you agree with that?
Will T, you said it, brother. Bradley Beal, that's what the Wizards are all about. All their decision-making revolves around him. If you listen to Tommy afterwards, first of all, Tommy did identify that he tried to trade up, but the asking price was too steep. Now, if the Wizards were in a complete rebuild, he would totally trade it up to get Jaden Ivey. Jaden was the right pick for this team. He's, to me, the best player, at least in the first round. Or if not the draft,
who was that again,
right? The first round.
Who was that again?
Jaden Ivey. That went to Detroit. Pairing Jaden Ivey now with that athleticism and that dog, along with Cade Cunningham, now you put yourself in a position where you better hope that Bradley Beal works out because the Detroit Pistons in a couple
they
years.
Coming.
Detroit Weaver.
They coming, bro.
They're on their way. Anyway. But all the decision-making was around Bradley Beal and Johnny Davis, as Will T mentioned, in the Wizards' train of thought and Tommy Shepard, this was the best pairing with Bradley Beal at that spot at number 10 because we call number 10 no man's land.
Yeah.
It's not the top five where you get a sure thing, and it's not also where you're going to get somebody who could be possibly a bust. You get a safe pick at number 10, and that's what they took. And we'll see how it works out. We're hoping that Brad can stay healthy. And Johnny Davis, as we know, he's not afraid to shoot the ball. He played one of the best conferences in college basketball. So I think he'll be prepared to contribute right away. But what does that make the Wizards? Does that make the Wizards now a contender for the 6-8 playoff spot? I don't think so.
I just feel like it's the same player. And you mentioned he has all cool accolades. You know, Big Ten Player of the Year. He averaged over 19 points a game. A good jumper. Looks like he, you know, not a great percentage, but to me, he has range on his three ball. I wasn't that impressed with his athleticism, but in terms of being ready to play off the bat, I do think he can contribute off the bat. Now, see, the question is that, you know, still a lottery pick. Is he an all-star caliber player? I'll throw that to you, Ray. Do you think he's an all-star caliber player or talent?
Potentially,
or talent.
depending on Wes Unseld Jr. and the type of ship he's going to run over the next several seasons. We saw Spencer Dinwiddie leave town and say his leadership and also his skill set wasn't welcome here. So if the coach uses him the right way, I think eventually, yes, he can get to an all-star level. However, right now, again, this team is centered around Bradley Beal, and I'm going to say KP is probably second fiddle there. You also got Rui, who turned it on at the end of last season, and we're hoping that can carry over. So Johnny Davis is down there, man, and Denny is held in high regard. So I think he's not going to be a priority off the jump, and he's going to have to earn his minutes. He's going to have to play well in order to do that. So eventually, could he be? Yes. But right now, we don't have that outlook for the simple fact that there's so many guys in front of him.
So, Will, I ask you this question. Is he are the Wizards at this position to wait on that? Like Ray's saying that he's down there on in terms of the rotation right now, in terms mm-hmm. of the players he just mentioned. Are the Wizards in that position to even wait on that? Knowing this is a lottery pick, a lot of fans are going to look at it like, yo, we need a dude. Like, we need a dude now to pair with Bradley Beal.
Before I answer that question, I'm just going to pose one question.
Go ahead.
And I want you to tell me what all three of these players that are currently on the Wizards have in common. Roy Hachimura, Corey Kispert, Corey Kispert and Johnny Davis. What do all three of those guys have in common?
They won. I mean, they were successful in college in terms of a winning program.
No, well, that and they were all Americans in college.
Yeah.
And the belief is for most people is if you get a guy. Your belief is if you get a guy who's an All-American that his game could possibly transition to the NBA, he will be, you know, especially a first-round pick, he'll be a guy that be someone who will be an active contributor to your team, probably a top six, top five, you know, in the starting lineup. But thus far, none of these guys have really developed or molded into that. So I say it all that to say this. I'm a little bit cautious of what Johnny Davis can be or should be in the NBA because this team has not shown that they can thoroughly develop the young talent that they have in the pipeline. Having said that, no, this team isn't in the position to wait for him, right? Uh-huh. This team is kind of, they're in no man's land. You have Bradley Beal, who we'll discuss a little bit later, is probably going to opt out and sign a long-term contract. You have Kristaps Porzingis, and you have Kyle Kuzma, and you have KCP. So you have some veterans, some guys who you think can, you know, compete and help you get into, you would hope, a top four position in the East, but that's highly unlikely. And then you have these young guys who really haven't met their full potential yet. So this team is kind of waiting in no man's land. It's in purgatory.
Right.
Will T, you make an interesting point because I saw something on Twitter and it was of the Sacramento Kings and how they drafted Jimmer Fredette and Thomas Robinson. And there was someone else they drafted, but they were one pick away from drafting like that next star player. I believe Dame was one of them. Klay Thompson was another. They waited one. If they basically got that player, they would have had a star on their hands, but they went with what they thought was a sure thing. I can't remember who the third guy was. So when you try to go with the safe picks in the NBA draft, to me, the track record outside of the top five, that's not necessarily going to work. You got to take chances in order to be great. And I don't also like the Wizards later drafting an overseas player, which is their MO.
Good God,
and then Tommy Shepard saying he's going to stash him.
Oh,
like,
God.
Dude, you're not the Golden State Warriors where you can stash guys. You need help now, sir. So this whole belief that I'm going to take the safest bet and we're going to have a team of college All-Americans, that's the safe pick. But is that how you win in this league? I'm going to say no.
No, I agree. That's the thing. It's like they typically draft these type of dudes, even like Tommy, you know, before Tommy Shepard took power. Like we mentioned, like the Otto Porters. Now you have, you know, Rui. And no knock on Rui, right? You know I like Rui, so it's not a knock on Rui. But
I do too. I want him
Rui,
to be picked here.
And now this pick, you know, they typically or Troy Brown, like they typically draft these type of dudes. And this is the thing is like, all right, when are you going to take that risk to show like, all right, your scouting department is doing this and kind of picking that player that, you know what, the upside is so higher than the others, right? We were talking about it before in the past, like. Certain players have higher ceilings, and they should draft, like, what's the kid that went to Atlanta? But, he didn't pan out. He went to New York, too. He went to Duke.
Cam Reddish.
Yeah, Cam Reddish. Like, turn of his ability and his talent. Like, players like that, take a chance on players like that because, you know, if that player develops to the talent and matches the skill set, you got not just a player, you got a dude. You know what I'm saying? So, the Wizards, I don't know if it's because, like, having a John Wall and now having a Bradley Beal, like you want to have a proven commodity, somebody that, you know, you feel that can help those individuals develop their games to be superstar players. But it gets to a point where now, like, you may want to take that chance to draft the player that has a boatload of potential that you know could be that guy, you know, if everything pans out.
One quick point. Bradley, I'll say this, because if you remember when the Wizards had the third pick and they drafted Bradley Beal, Bradley Beal wasn't necessarily the safe pick,
very true.
You know, because they could have took Harrison Barnes.
Yes, very
Harrison
true.
Barnes was seen as the guy with the higher, the more developed player and a higher floor.
Yes.
And to me, it seems as if the Wizards, with some of these past couple of first round draft picks, that they want guys with a high floor, meaning that these guys are not necessarily the safest, but these guys can develop and they can be a contributor somewhere, if not in their top six players, but they'll be a safe contributor on that 7 through 9 spot on their roster. That's what it seems as if it's that what's happened. To my eyes, that's what seems to happen to me with these past couple of draft picks. But Ray, you're absolutely right. That's why I was hoping that they would take a guy like Jalen Duren from Memphis, a guy who has raw ability, talent, has an NBA body, who has, you know, some skill set that you're looking for in a center, particularly his shot blocking and ability to run the floor.
Today's centers,
but
yeah.
A guy that's, but then a guy who you can develop during the season, you know, during those practices and during those shoot-arounds before the game, and also who can help you immediately on the floor and make this, you know, help this team potentially contend for a playoff spot.
I feel like they needed that type of player for a while. I thought they should have got Robert Williams when he was available, like a couple years ago. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they've needed that type of talent for a while, and they keep neglecting it.
Yeah, who's the guy who told you? Robert Williams, that's going to be the guy that, you know, this team missed out on. One guy who told you that.
And now it seems as though they're trying to now figure out who's going to run point guard.
That too.
Tommy Shepard is saying that Brad has the skills to run point guard. And then Johnny Davis just said in his welcome press conference that he's comfortable running the point, but they're not true point guards.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I'm saying you're going to have to do something. I said Kobe White is on he's available. Mm-hmm. I would just go ahead and pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, man.
Ish Smith. Don't they still have Ish Smith?
I'm not sure, but defensively, he's a liability. That's the only thing.
That's not a start. I mean, but that's a backup. I'm looking. They need a one. And Bradley Beal came out and said, like, you know, the best point guard he's played with is John Wall, and everybody else hasn't, you know, been up to snuff, according to Bradley Beal. You know what I'm saying? Russell Westbrook deserves some credit, too. I'm not going on. He deserves some credit.
Well, I mean, the Wizards, I believe they have $16 million. They're under the cap. Free agency starts in a couple of days. Maybe they're able to find a young veteran that's who the league is, I'm not going to say down on, but his value's been reduced, and maybe they're able to, you know, sign him and, you know, help him elevate his game, and he's able to be a starting point guard for this team. That's a big hope.
That's a big hope, man. It really is. That's a big hope. All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com.
All right, Bradley Beal has opted out of his contract, but it has been reported that he intends to sign a Supermax deal with the Wizards, which is worth $250 million, which will make him the highest paid player per year. Can the Wizards be real contenders with Beal as the lead star? Right.
Yeah, it's kind of what we're talking about now, guys, because the whole roster is being constructed around him. This is what he wanted. Wole says that time and time again. Brother, you now in a position that you want to be in. Everybody who was there that could potentially be a contributor, we're talking about Dinwiddie, Wall, they're gone, okay? You now have the keys to the ship. They're drafting, they're recruiting players based on consulting you based on what you want to do. And now you're getting the money that you want beyond what you probably thought you were going to get when you first entered this league. Mm-hmm. So now it's going to be up to him to take his game to another level. I give Bradley Beal credit on how he gets better every season. And now it's time to see, can he take it to that next level? Can he be a guy similar to a James Harden that can elevate a franchise to where you're competing in the playoffs against these top seeds in the East? We're talking about Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn. Can you compete against these squads based on the fact that you were the lead dog? And as of right now, it's been a challenge for him. He had Russ the 1 year. They of course made the play-in and eventually the playoffs. and they struggled against Philly. And I didn't even name Philly just now in terms of the top dogs in the East. So it's going to be hard. It really is. When you think about the stars, Giannis, Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, these guys competing against Bradley Beal, it's going to be hard. I'm not sure that Tommy is making the right move. No offense to Bradley Beal, but a lot of people view Bradley Beal as that second great player on the roster.
Yeah, you know, I stated that before, but on Twitter, I read some stuff on Twitter. On Twitter, the homie Cameron said, in terms of if Bradley Beal could be a lead dog, he said, yes, we need a dog at the guard position. And also on Facebook, Floyd Austin posted, he is good but not a superstar. If we could get a two or three or one, do it. I'm like, for me, Bradley Beal is like Ray said, he's getting better every year. So maybe, to be honest with you, maybe he could. But I'm just saying, I'm just going to speak at the present. In the present, for what we've seen, no, he's not a number one. And like this team needs a couple of players to put themselves in that situation. They need a point guard. They need a big that we already mentioned that can rim run, that can block shots, be a good defender. They need a couple more players to put themselves in that level of even if you don't have a star, you can build your team around a superstar like that type of player, like a Kevin Durant, LeBron, with Steph Curry, players like that ilk, that you can still build your team around it to be a player that can do some damage, like the Miami Heat. You know, Jimmy Butler is basically a superstar, but they've built their whole unit around him. You know what I mean? And that culture that they built in Miami. You have other coaches out there who've built a culture of teams having just team success. So if the Wizards can build that type of, you know, environment, then yeah, I guess Bradley Beal, if he continues to get better, that he can be a guy that they can advance into the postseason. We ain't talking about advancing. This team and this town, you know, they want a champion. You know what I'm saying? From what I've seen on Twitter, they want a champion. They want to contend some way or somehow. So the question, you know, paying Bradley Beal $250 million, yo, though, to me, that's money for, like, the Stephs, LeBron, KD, you know, even Dame. I know, like, Dame, folks like that. Like, that's the money allocated for them. Because them dudes, like, I'm going to say, they move oceans, man. Like, they that talented. They're able to carry their team to levels that you couldn't imagine. You know what I'm saying? Like, even I mentioned Dame. Dame took the Portland Trail Blazers to the Western Conference Finals. And in a hard Western Conference. So when you look at Brad and what he's doing in the East, you know what I'm saying? You're in the East, and now the East is tougher. Like, Ray, you mentioned, like, the East is getting tougher. Like, we see what Boston is doing. I'm sure Brad is looking at the old boy Jason Tatum, who he's groomed and who he's mentored, and looking at what he's done. He's gotten to the NBA Finals. So, like, I know that, you know, Brad is looking at it like, all right, I am that dude because, look, you know, there's a dude that I've kind of mentored, and he got there. I can get there. You know what I'm saying? But it's levels to this. That kid talented. Like, he may not have a dog. We talk about Jaylen Brown and him, but have the dog. But the ability and the growth and the youth and the physical tools that kid has allows him to be who he is. So and also he has the want to get better. So he does. He gets better every year too. But that East is getting tougher. You mentioned Detroit. What the bodies and young talent Detroit has. Atlanta's going to get better. You know, they had an off year last year, but they're going to get better because Trae Young gets better every year. The East is getting tougher. So, if this team wants to kind of compete at a high level, I don't know if you can do it with Brad right now. Maybe, again, Brad does get better every year. Maybe next year he takes a bigger step.
I'll say this just to close it out on this point. Thus far, we haven't had a team that was strictly constructed to compliment Bradley Beal. So I said this last week, I'll say it again. We don't necessarily know what he can do with a team that's constructed in an offense and a roster that plays to his strengths. So that's one. Two, yes, the East is getting a lot tougher. But, you know, if we saw for a very small sample size what this Wizards team could do if they compete at a high level and they follow Wes Unseld Jr.'s game plan, right? Those first 11 games, we saw what the potentially could be. Now it's up to, you know, if you pay Bradley Beal, you have some money under the cap. Now, you know, this is where Tommy Shepard and that front office staff needs to get creative and they need to think of how to acquire players and how to maximize the talent on that roster. And I'm not saying that this is a team that's going to contend for a top four spot or maybe even a top six spot in the East. But when you have a core of Bradley Beal, if he's healthy, a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, Kyle Kuzma, and KCP, that can get you competing for the, you know, for the seventh, eighth spot in the play-in games, possibly. Mm-hmm. Depending on how things shake out.
What, playing game? We talking playing game? Talking about competing?
Yeah, you can't get. I'm just being honest.
But see,
I'm
being this, I feel like you said they're not building around. To me, since John Wall is gone, they've asked Bradley Beal. They put Bradley Beal in the room, and he has the opportunity to say if he wants this player or not. Like KCP is a friend of his, so. Obviously, he was in that discussion to have a KCP on his squad. So is KCP not – does he fit Brad's skill set? Because Brad obviously wanted him in town. You know what I mean?
I think a player like KCP playing – if you're going to play Bradley Beal at the point guard, I think KCP would be an ideal running mate for him. He's a guy who can defend the 1, 2, or 3. He's a guy who could space out the floor with his jump shooting ability. And he's a guy who's been tested, you know, in those late game situations, he's come through on the defensive and offensive side. So he's a solid pick. I'm not going to say he fits an ideal running mate, but he's a solid pick.
And I'm sure we talk about this. I mean, it's in the past, but you're building your team around Brad. He obviously, to me, he okayed the Westbrook Walsh thing, like that, he was in the room for that. Like, if you're gonna build around, my thing is, you're gonna build around somebody, like, you're in the room. Like, you're in the room. So, you know your game. So, you're saying to yourself, like, yeah, that dude fit with me. Like, yeah, I could take that dude. It's the same, like, the same thing. Like, LeBron, him going back and saying, like, well, they didn't ask me about certain players. No, bro, they got all those players for you. You obviously were in the room. Like, you wanted, like, you okayed Westbrook. You okayed all these dudes. You know what I'm saying? So you were part of the GM coalition. You were there, bruh. You was with it. So the same thing. If you building around your star player. If your whole pitch is because you want Bradley to stay in D.C., Bradley Beal to stay in D.C., you're obviously in the room, man. Like, you're in the room. Like, I'm the GM, and you're my star player. And I'm like, you're about to be a free agent soon. Like, you've been talking this nonsense about, I ain't sure I want to be in D.C. I ain't sure. I'm going to bring you in every discussion. I'm gonna make you inclusive because I want to make sure that you know that I'm doing everything you want me to do to keep you in town. So he's in the room. So my thing is like, yo, they built around him because they've asked him his opinion, and he felt like these players would help him.
Yeah, I mean, some of these players will help him, but. This may not necessarily be the, how can I say it? They haven't gone out and shown that they've gone out and got him the ideal running mate.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it starts there with Bradley Beal. You get Bradley Beal the ideal running mate, a guy who you say, okay, Brad, this is your number one, but this is our guy who we know we can go to and get a clutch bucket. We can run offense through, who will draw attention away from the defense from you on him when he's, you know, when the ball is in his hand and when he's playing off ball, right? And I don't ever feel as if, you know, they've gotten that guy for him thus far. Maybe Kristaps Porzingis is that guy. We don't know.
He could be. I mean, the unicorn could be. I think if healthy, that's another argument too. Like, how good, you know, could this team be if he's healthy? If they get the New York version of him, though.
Yeah, that's a big if, that's man. If was a fifth, we both be drunk. All right.
Yeah, Will, part of our... Because I know. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Will.
Oh no,
I can hear you, Will. You got it.
As part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with Yard Talk HBC after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Go ahead on Empire Media. You have to say it, dude.
You're supposed to say for ages.
Oh, my bad. You're right.
And then I say on Empire Media, empiremedia.com, and now we're going to break.
Guys, are you looking for that extra confidence when it's time to have fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. BlueChew's tablets help men combat all forms of ED. BlueChew is also an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, all done online. Blue Chew's tablets, made in the United States, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code URBAN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code URBAN to receive your first month free.
Jerusalem, Ikayalami, Gilondoloze, Uambenami, Zungangishilana, Jerusalem, Ikayalami, Gilondoloze, Uambenami, Zungangishilana. I'm not perfect, I came from ruthless times as a juvenile. Look into my eyes, see pain and sacrifice. What goes on my mind, just trying to survive.
Welcome back to the urban sports scene. It's now time for HBCU Corner. And we have a special guest today. We finally got this guest. You can catch her on multiple platforms talking all things HBCU. She goes by the name of Yard Talk HBCU. What's up? And welcome to the urban sports scene.
Thank y'all for having me, finally.
I know, right? It's been a while. We've been trying to do this for a while, yes. Now. You know this.
You know, I've been retweeting and watching shows and commenting and stuff and, you know, complaining because y'all got that interview with Coach Q and, you know, and I can't get it.
You still so, working on it?
We're about the HBCU culture. We want to help each other out. That's the plan.
That's right. One of the best interviews I've seen, so you just throw that out there.
Say it again.
You know, and y'all know I'll be watching everybody stuff, so y'all kudos for that.
Oh, thank you.
Good looking. I want to ask you real quick though. We know a lot about your school. Do you know anything about our school? I'm just being honest. You probably don't.
I know what y'all talked about on the last video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Right. Talking about? Yeah. Right.
I know just that little part right there, but I haven't. Y'all was talking about how nice it is and stuff like that. So, I did go look to see, and it is a beautiful campus.
it's a beautiful campus. That's what it is. It's a beautiful campus. You know what's wild? Because when we got there, that's the first thing that everybody tried to preach to us. It was about our grass. Like, our grass was nice. I was like, dang, this is the only thing you're going to preach about first? The grass?
No, it's a sign. It's a sign that says our campus is nationally ranked. And that was our claim to fame. Duke was number one. Yeah. We was number two. That was what was said when we were there. But anyway, you just confirmed that I gotta get our name out there. That's all I wanted to do. You know, I want to start like that. But like you said.
So y'all say UMS, right? That's how y'all pronounce it?
Yeah, UMS.
UMS, yeah. I remember Commissioner Sandra saying it like that. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes, you know, that's a little catchy little way to say it, you know.
Hey, Wole, this is terrible, bro. We got to be better.
We gotta do better. Like everybody has to know what UMES is. Like we gotta do better.
Because Hillman was based on UMES. Anyway, I'm just joking.
I was about to say, you almost got me with that one.
but that's another discussion because you look at the colors and all that stuff. They played Hampton, they played against the schools we played. Look, it might have been. But we gonna move forward. You like you say, you've seen our content, so you know how we roll on Urban Sports Scene. Typically, we start off our segment just with a homecoming question. However, on our interview with Coach Larry Scott, you know, who's the coach at Howard, we referred to Howard as like the mecca of all HBCUs, and we received a comment basically saying that's not the case. So we're gonna start off by asking you, okay, in your opinion, with all the historical value of these Black institutions, what school do you view as the mecca?
Really? I can't say no other school. I'm gonna have to only go with the one that I've been enrolled in. So
really? See, we not even say our school is. We're being real.
Look, we don't even do our school though. We don't even say our school's homecoming is the best.
Probably might be though.
Huh?
Listen, I've been to see if I tell y'all who homecomings I've been to, then I gotta fight out here in these HBCU places. They just got me jammed up. So they gonna be talking about you went to them instead of going to over here to Grambling game.
I want to know. You can say your top. Give us your okay. Without singling one out, give us like your top three then.
I'm gonna throw my people a bone because they need it today. I'm gonna say based on just what I've seen. And how FAMU is just at their regular games with their DJ, they two-stepping, and just stuff I've seen on the internet, I would have to get them top three.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And got to give A&T credit because they are considered having the largest homecoming celebration. And, you know, I know that has a lot to do with...
Now I got to deal with these A&T folks. Oh, man.
Listen, they in my head today, too. But and also based on, you know, some of the things that I've seen, you know, as a third party as well. And then number one is a swag school.
It's a swag school. It's always about the swag, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably why you're here. You got that swag experience. We need that swag love. We kind of pro me up. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
We pro me up. But I'm just saying, yeah, though, like, how you not gonna mention Howard? They have Diddy. They got Taraji. These folks come in town.
Felicia Rashad.
We got Claire. We have Claire. We have Claire. Now, I say we. You know what? Why am I saying we? I mean, Howard has Claire. Now, I act like I went to Howard. Howard has Claire. Why am I saying we? Like, yeah, I'm like,
you got chill.
Like, I went to Howard. I got chill. Now, I got you.
Nah, we got to respect her answer. That's why we asked it. And she gave a pretty good response. You know, I know some other people out there. They got their thoughts.
I mean, we got Wingdings at Eastern Shore, so that's all I need.
We got more than Wingdings. We got the whole Purdue Chicken Farm next door. We had the best chicken tenders in life.
So, and the honey mustard's off the chain, bro.
And the turkey wings.
And the honey mustard, though. Something about the honey mustard.
I didn't have no wing shortage up there.
not at all. Not at all.
Just walk in the backyard and get you some chicken. Fresh.
Oh, man. So, all right, wait. So, you're HBCU alum. But you share, with our listeners, can you share with our listeners what drives you, what drives your passion for HBCU athletes in particular?
Athletics, man.
Oh, my bad, athletics. My bad, bro.
Because quite honestly, I see the opportunity that we have to really, really get our universities as a whole off the ground and fully fund the things that we need, right, to take us to the next level. athletics is the front door to every university, and I think that HBCU's got to stop running from that because we're leaving so much money on the table. It's ridiculous. Like, we can't keep depending on the state, because if you look at it, the states where most of our schools are not really HBCU friendly. I'm going to say it like that. Mm. So we have to consider those things and be willing to say, okay, well, what are some other alternatives instead of just waiting for funding? Because funding takes a long time anyway. What can we do right now today to bring revenue into our university?
What are some of your ideas for that then?
Content. We have a very, very, very minuscule digital print footprint for HBCUs as a whole. Now, Coach Prime has accelerated that, in my opinion, because he's brought us the HBCU brand through, you know, being at Jackson State to the forefront, right? But there are 12 schools in the SWAT. It's not up to, and I think Grambling does a good job. FAMU, too. FAMU has a strong digital footprint. If you look at School Sparks, you'll see what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. But we got 12 brands. Let's say it like that. 12 brands in the SWAT. And we're just letting it sit there. It makes no sense. Grambling alone has 40,000 alumni. So just imagine if we only got a portion of those people every day tweeting, liking, commenting, sharing, 1,000 people doing that 3 times a day. That's going to help us create a market value. And that's what a lot of HBCUs really don't have.
Mm. Do you think that the MEAC and SWAC should work together more to get, you know, to, for this to happen?
I mean, what would be the drawback of that? Instead of just working individually, right? You're limited in the scope of your ideas. The MEAC has some great things that they do well. So does the SWAT. So it's like iron sharpens iron. Right? So why not? Howard has a great homecoming. How do y'all facilitate that? Valley may not. They're a smaller school, of course. But we have some schools like Jackson State that are very engaged in bringing their community into the school. How do we take what they built and apply that to other schools within a 100-mile radius, right? And so it's like it's the bringing together of ideas collectively that I feel like we're missing because we're so competitive and we fight over the wrong things.
Yeah. That's like society and life, to be honest, which a lot of people intend in terms of, like, instead of working together, they want to, you know, do things their own, thinking that, you know, it's how it's going to, they think doing it by themselves is going to benefit the whole cause, not knowing that if you do it together, it all works out. You know what I mean? It works out even more. You know what I mean? There's strength in numbers.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So just, I don't know the exact number, but just think about if Grambling itself has 40,000 alumni. Just imagine what our 101 universities have collectively.
Definitely. All right. Well, I want to get some to some of your content. Oh. You're the CEO of Icon 1901 Collection. Can you tell us about it? And also tell us about some of the platforms you're on with it.
It's Collective.
Oh, it's a Collective. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Collective. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. And so I have had this idea that I manifested, again, going back to athletics and thinking of ways that we can help support our schools, because I'm trying to move us into this marketing space. So of course, all this NIL stuff came about, and I said, well, who is the person or the go-to for an HBCU athlete if they want to get engaged in this NIL space? There, it doesn't exist. So that's kind of how I said, okay, well, and I thought of Grandma, and it just became, you know, just I had to, you know, expand my reach, because a smaller school may not have a big alumni base that'll, you know, put money and resources into this particular project. But if I can, through my company, partner with, I don't want to say no names, but this particular business And I when I go to them, I say, hey, I want you to do a fair deal for all HBCUs. There again, the mindset, collectively, we are stronger. So that's kind of how it works.
And you're on YouTube, okay. Right? And it's on YouTube too, right? I called an episode. I it was dope. I called it. Y'all talking about NIL. I thought NIL, it was dope. Yeah. I liked it.
And shout out to the people that
I broke it down to, like the way you did it was you broke it down for the basic, just to the basic, so you know the lay audience can understand, which I do appreciate.
Yep, and we're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, since you asked that question, I didn't answer it.
It's all good, though. I'm all for it. I told y'all I'm going to support you. I told you this.
And it's so funny, y'all, because I have to exist in that space and the Yard Talk HBCU space. But
I want to talk about that too. You know, like the new podcast supposed to drop. You know what I'm saying? What's the plan?
Man, I swear to y'all, last minute, I got a phone call saying, hey, we want to produce your show. I have content ready right now. That I have been working on, you know, on my own. Because I'm like, I'm going to do this regardless. If I got to spend money, which I did, you know, whatever. I'm like, I can't wait any longer. So last minute, got a phone call. So now it's been pushed back. But I have a meeting tomorrow to finalize everything, get the marketing and stuff out. And so it should be coming within the next 2 weeks. Because if not, I'm going to go on. I'm going to be like, don't worry about it. I got it. I ain't going to keep waiting. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what's you. Up.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to be waiting. I'm leaving money on the table myself.
Definitely. And we talking about the Yard. And make sure our listeners know it's the Yard Talk HBCU podcast, right? We'll make sure they know.
Yep.
I will make sure that's they know.
Right.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, you be wanting all the smoke on Twitter. People be coming for you, but you be going right back at up like, dang. I ain't messing with her. I'll never debate. I just like it. You know what I'm saying? So I can't wait to see what your podcast is gonna look like.
Man, listen, I don't be trying to look, I'm not trying to change minds. I just want people to think about what they actually, you know, what they consider truth or fact. That's it.
Gotcha.
Now if they want to debate.
You doing your thing. I appreciate it. That's why we got you here. You like an expert. You also know the history, which I love. So I want to ask you this. It's clear. You just mentioned Coach Prime at Jackson State. They're garnering the most attention on like the mainstream level. Mm-hmm. Thanks to people like Nick Saban, of course. You had the SI cover, which was dope. But like, in your opinion, which institution, school, or another football program would you say is right there with Jackson State in terms of marketability or popularity, or has the potential that will soon command wider spread coverage?
Gotta go with Grambling on that one. And then FAMU's a close second.
Okay.
And the reason why, close third. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at everything Coach Q has done since, that's been happening at Grambling since he's gotten there, we were ranked in the FCS for our recruiting class. I think Jackson State was one or two, and we were number five. Uh-huh. Okay, just since December now. And of course, you know, being an NFL, a former NFL coach doesn't hurt at all. Uh-huh. And then you have the Urban Edge Network, HBCU League Pass Plus deal that I can't really say what I want to say, but y'all will see when it drops as far as the receipts on that. Uh-huh. And then you have the athlete, which is, you know, it's going to be paying a salary to each student. And if you look at any videos on Grambling page, they have thousands and thousands and thousands of views. Like Coach Hugh just went viral for doing a backwards two-step. So and quite honestly, I've been in a lot of Twitter spaces and stuff, and they say, man, we see Grambling everywhere. It's like, you know, their social media presence is strong. So, and then, you know, and like I said, close third, FAMU, for sure.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you. We forgot to talk about Art Briles. You know that was a discussion for many weeks back.
Yeah, we hated that.
That first drop. So we ain't gonna go there today. But
we ain't going there.
Listen. It is what it is.
Exactly. It is what it is.
Hey, I think that really is what made Grambling like come out of the darkness. Mm. Even though it was, strong opinions on both sides. But that's what I mean. The digital footprint is strong. So good or bad.
Y'all gonna have me jump in this thing with our brows.
Don't do it.
I was for it.
I'm not catching no crazy for nobody.
I'm just saying, they can hear me. I was for it. I'm always about to smoke. You know me, right? So I was for it. Don't put it that way. I was for it. I'll say I was for it, and we can leave it like that. I was for it, and we can leave it like that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to let Hugh Jackson run his program how you want to.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I'm surprised you even mentioned South Carolina State.
They don't, as far as what?
In terms of HBCU, are you talking about the HBCU program?
They're not there in terms of like widespread coverage. I don't think they
are. I know they're not. I know.
They have a very core fan base. Their alumni is amazing, in terms of just comparisons to other HBCUs in the area especially, but they're not there yet, though.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah, Prime is like holding it down for real, though. Like Prime is definitely holding it down.
But here's the thing. You ain't got to be like Coach Prime. You can do the basic fundamental stuff. Like some of these schools don't even post. I made a comment the other day. Some of them have not made a post since the spring game. That's unacceptable.
I agree.
Listen, if Coach Pugh did a video right now, he ain't got to be talking about football. Right? He could be outside. I don't know if he is a grilling man or not. He could have his South Carolina Bulldog shirt on or whatever. Be outside grilling. Cooking some steaks, some burgers. It's gonna do numbers. Just a normal thing we do in the Black community. To see one of our pillars do it, it's going to be like, it's gonna be viral. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it don't have to be all of these fireworks, right? Cool. That's not what we're looking for. We are looking to see. Oh my goodness! I'm seeing some of my heroes in a very human way, and that is attractive to people. And I think South Carolina State. Listen, if they ever bridge those two worlds between how great they are and their digital footprint, they're gonna be unstoppable.
I'm with you.
They can already recruit. So I mean,
no, you're right. Because it's wild that you say that. Because I know just promoting the stuff that we do, you know what I mean? And looking for like social media accounts and seeing what content people are putting out there. You have some of them, not putting any names out there, that haven't produced any type of content for like a year or two, man. It's, you look at it and you're like, come on now, like, you got to promote your brand. You got all institutions that do this.
We got 12 brands in the play.
Yeah.
See,
mm-hmm.
You talk about money. Obviously, just more has to be invested. We had somebody on our show. Remember, we were talking about Howard Athletics. They were saying it's a shame that Howard still has the same sports facilities. Like, they need to invest. So it's across the board. And that's where the biggest issue lies with the MEAC is marketing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's why the SWAC definitely has the MEAC beat, even though we got y'all in the Celebration Bowl. But in terms of marketability, that's the biggest issue that the MEAC faces. So you're right, but with the digital platforms, I think with Byron Allen doing his thing, it's growing. We can do more.
To the point, it's not even like the thing is not even like to do a social media rollout or a plan like that, or just create content. It really doesn't have to take that much money to what she's saying. Like nowadays with smartphones, and you can do just something. You got to put yourself out there on the platform to a point where you are promoting your brand. You don't have to, like, we got kids who putting out stuff more than these institutions. To be real, kids are putting out more content institutions. They don't got no money. All you need is your like your iPhone, and you can do
yeah,
such
Coach
little
Pew
things.
A TikTok. We're going to give Coach Pew a TikTok.
I'm not saying, man. I'm not even putting him out there. I'm just saying people, there's, you'd be amazed when you
do the two-step.
Yeah, but you would be amazed that when you go searching our HBCUs, some of our HBCUs, and then you look at the last time something was posted, and I'll use Twitter as an example, you're going to scratch your head, and you're going to be like, or just go on Facebook and look at some of these programs not having pages, like not having a football team page or a baseball team page or a basketball team page, and we're talking about teams that are decent, you're going to be like, oh. That's not a money thing, bro.
Yeah.
But then they wonder why nobody cares about the fact that they won a championship.
This is true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of hit on that, too.
Let me let you know, we the only school in the flag that got a celebration bowl win. Okay? I don't care. Whenever y'all get done talking about all this and that, y'all, anything y'all say about the celebration bowl, we coming. Okay?
We coming. You said we coming.
We earned it right.
Coach, hold that down for me. Let's go. I love it.
But everybody's a winner at the end of the day. That's the whole point. HBCUs as a whole, we're going to win. So I just want to go to the next question because I've seen your recent thoughts on revenue, including TV deals and ticket sales. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're advocating for higher ticket prices, right, for increased profit and revenue. Do you think that's the correct move considering our current economic state, gas prices, inflation? Also, is that possible for the smaller programs?
I think so. And quite honestly, I don't think we're saying, I'm not advocating for like doubling ticket prices. But as HBCU alums, we got to be honest and say that we, with our dollars, are devaluing our institution. We get 3 hours of entertainment from our football team, and that's how many players? Let's say, just say 63, because that's how many scholarships they get. Bare minimum 63. Bands have, what, 200 to 300 kids, right? Then you throw in the cheerleaders. You throw in the dance team. You throw in the mascot. Where else can you get 3 hours of entertainment from such a large group of, professionals, for about $20. Where can you find that at? Name another example of a production that involves that amount of people that's about $20 for 3 hours. You can't even go to the movies for that, really.
It's true.
And your 3 hour movie's going to be more.
I was just playing a movie yesterday. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so with the market, with increased marketing, which y'all kind of talking about, would that help? If, even if the ticket price were the same, you get more people if you market correctly.
Who are we marketing to? Is a question.
You said it, the community, right? Of course, your alumni.
I think it's twofold, because it's like you have to build it. Because you can't do what you've been doing before and raise the ticket price.
Yeah.
That's not right. Fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody made comments and said, well, the game day experience needs to be better, right?
Yeah,
okay. True. So do the work to make it, because the band coming anyway, the dancer's going to be there anyway, the mascot, everybody that was there last year going to be there this year as far as entertainment value. Just make it better. Somebody mentioned simple stuff like, we got more than two fight songs. Can we get this spirit song put in there? And stuff like that. So it can't just be raise the ticket price and then do this, have the same old that they were used to, because then that's going to make people mad, turn people off, and make them not want to come.
Yeah, I think partnering with professional leagues, because right now HBCU is a hot topic, and these clearly, like the NBA, the NFL, they want to be part of this because it looks good on their part. So if you partner with the NFL franchise, for example, say, we want to use your stadium for our game, we're going to bring the band, we're going to bring all of what you're saying, I think that'll help as well. And it probably will benefit the team just as much as it'll benefit the university. It's a win-win for everybody. So it won't be like this financial burden. It's going to be more of a blessing. You know what I'm saying? I think that's just one strategy that people should think about, especially depending on where you're located. Like Georgia's a prime spot, man. That's what the Falcons are all about. But I want to see it grow. Like I said, it's moving in the right direction. I think you made extremely valid points. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you something that Coach Hugh, I don't know if y'all caught this video. He said it very plainly. Y'all say we not out here because, you know, they're doing their camps and stuff. And so they had some satellite camps, which means they went to them.
Yeah.
That's important because that's how you build community and get buy-in for your university. Right? They went to Shreveport, and I think Lake Charles, or they may have Lake Charles coming up. That's how you get people to reinvest, because you can say, now you can say, hey, I'm here. You asked me to come. I did my part. Now I need you to do your part. You build relationships in the communities with the coach. There's not a coach in America that if they get a phone call and say, hey, can you bring your football team to the game on Saturday? Nobody's going to tell you. Nobody's going to say no. So you think about, let's just say Grambling. I don't know how familiar y'all are with Louisiana. But Grambling's right there at the top, the border between, and then you have the Arkansas border right there, which is where I'm from.
Okay.
You have within a 100-mile radius a lot of schools. It's time for Grambling to cross that border, right? Grambling's 70 miles away from my hometown.
Oh, wow.
They get FBS offers all the time out of their school. You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's about, like I said, expanding the digital footprint, but the actual footprint as well. Because they're going to come. They want to see. But you got to pick up the phone and build those relationships. And Coach Hugh is doing that. And go back to what you said, Ray, your community.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been surviving on the loyalty factor
for so long
to fill our stands for decades.
Uh-huh.
People want a little bit more, and you can debate all day whether they asking too much or whatever. But I'm just saying, you know where we are right now. It can be justified, but you have to do your part too.
Well, I agree. I think that all. I mean, I think that's the same for all HBCUs. Like. You gotta. A lot of HBCUs are trying to live off their name and loyalty. It's true. But you need to also put in the work. You can't just say, you know. And I think Ray, we had Coach came on the show not too long, maybe a while back, kind of preached that. You know, Coach, I'm talking about. I forgot his like his whole name.
What school?
No, not from school. Oh. From radio.
Oh. Butch?
Butch, yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty much preached that about how, you know, you got to put in the work to get these kids or get this attention or get these, you know, get kids to come and show out. And I do agree with that. A lot of times you look at the name of like a Grambling, a Howard, FAMU, you know, schools like this, and you like that name alone, but you can also put in the work to get these kids engaged and like the one to come there and want to put in the work and build that. You know, build that environment. You just gotta have to put in the work too. And just like you mentioned, like there's so many different things, social media, and like you said, like physically going out there and doing things. That's why we all like what Prime's doing. I like what Hugh Jackson's doing. Like Hugh Jackson pretty much made a whole rollout plan of how he's trying to engage and bring kids to Grambling. Like, you know, being on, I want to say he was on The Pivot. He was on all these other shows out there. You know, he's doing this. He's not just doing it. You know, just doing it just for himself. He's doing it to get the word out about Grambling. You know, you see it. Like that's the main thing, to get the word out about his school and his program. So he's doing these rollout plans, doing these radio tours, doing these TV tours. Like he knows what he's doing. He's trying to build the culture in Grambling. If a lot of these HBCUs did the same thing, and some people have the individuals to do it, I think a lot of them are doing it. So I'm not saying that they're not, but there's a lot. If we all do this as a whole, it just builds up everything within what this HBCU movement is all about.
Yep, I agree. And it goes back to what you said about working together. Uh-huh. That's the easiest way to do it online.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Listen, I got to give you flowers because you posted something one day that said something to the effect of, if you went to HBCU but it's not in your bio, then don't even talk to me. I was like, dang. So I had to like add mine. I was like, let me make sure. All this discussion, I'm criticizing it. I'm constructively criticizing the schools too. I'm like, wait a minute. As an alum, I don't do my part. I mean, Wole, when last time you might have been back since. I haven't been back in a while.
I've been homecoming a few times.
I'm talking about our campus is nice, but I ain't even stepped foot on in a while. Oh. So I gotta be better. So I'm gonna take accountability. And since you're here, I'm gonna try to be better doing my part.
Do y'all have an official school's hashtag?
We kinda do.
Kinda.
You see what I'm saying? You know when you see that gram fam, you know what's up.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, no, we do. Y'all, we y'all do. Strong. We got Hawk Pride. Let me take that. We got Hawk Pride. That's our hashtag.
Yeah, on Twitter, it's not that.
It's not as big though.
Instagram and Facebook is definitely a good hashtag, but not on. We don't have a good Twitter presence. That's what I'm saying.
Like
maybe that's our job.
To your point about. But see, it goes back to we talk. Man, I'm not going to crap on my school because I'm not going to do that. But it goes back to what we're talking about. You know, social media platform, like even that, it's like
that. It's on us.
On Twitter, it's not. I want to say, like on Instagram, it's pretty. I think Instagram is pretty. It's pretty dope. Facebook is not a hashtag. The presence on that's pretty dope. But on Twitter, like the hashtags, and it could be better.
That's what we got to do. We got to do it. And
better, man.
We got to thank Y'all Talk HBCU for that. So we fans definitely.
Oh yeah, definitely. Hey, before we let you go, is there anything you like to add?
HBCU that's out there hiding, come find me on Twitter. Listen, I'll be retweeting every. I don't care if you are the if it's two people that's enrolled at your school. I retweet everybody's stuff.
She does.
D2, NAIA. Like I want to show love to everybody. You guys have a market too. Okay, CIAA. CIAC, all y'all over there. Hey, come on in and let's do this thing. I want to support y'all too. It's not just about the sway.
She's really about that. She ain't just saying that. You know what I mean? She's real about that. She's very consistent too about that, folks. If you watching this, she's very consistent about that. That's not just a one day post thing. That's an early day post thing. I'm gonna use my DMV lingo. That's an early day post thing. So, so make sure y'all know this. You know what I'm saying?
And very, very last thing, get in contact. Get your content on HBCU League Pass Plus so you can start getting some money for your school. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go into a long, drawn out conversation about it, but the money is already there. Get the contract so you can get that paper.
She got me thinking already. Now I'm thinking.
I've been thinking. You know, this is just causing me to further ponder everything. But it's dope stuff. Looking forward to just all the content you're going to be putting out there in the future. Hopefully you can invite us on when you blow up. You know, so don't forget about it.
Yeah. I just want to make sure you tell me when that podcast drops, so I can already hit the subscribe button ASAP. Oh. Hit that little ad button. I already
subscribed. You can subscribe now.
On the YouTube.
On YouTube.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Yard Talk. You know, y'all talking about. No, I'm talking about the podcast version, like the Apple, whatever.
Can't you tell them you can subscribe?
I already did that already. That's not mine. I saw the promo video and everything. I'm hip.
Oh,
bro.
All right, bro.
I'm hip.
My bad.
What y'all doing for the summer for the show?
Say again.
What are y'all gonna be doing for Urban Sports for the summer? What y'all got coming up?
Ooh, man, we trying. Like I'm trying to get. One of the goals is to get an alum from Grambling. I want to get Doug Williams. That's on my list.
We're gonna be on campuses. We've been invited already. It's just a matter of getting it, you know. So we probably gonna start close to home in Howard though.
Yeah.
But you know, Delaware State definitely they.
Delaware State, yeah, we're trying to do some stuff on campus like Delaware.
We're about
State,
to do our HBCU tour. Summer is. Woo.
Yeah, we try and keep it lit.
Be nice, but I'll say spring more than summer. You know, the summer is going to set the stage for the spring. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm gonna say.
And we're also working on trying to get Now he was at Bowie State. He's the football coach of Bowie State, but
Morgan State.
Now we're in Morgan State.
Yeah, so, it's coming. We'll be, you know, we're going to stay with the content. Oh,
yeah. Hey, listen. Have y'all been looking and seeing what they've been doing on their social media?
Who? Morgan State?
Yeah, I don't think they playing.
No, they playing. They working. They working. See, like I'm talking about, they working. They see, they hype about that acquisition, and they are working it. Like, I give them credit again. Like, the Morgan State working it. He's everywhere, and they're doing a good job in terms of promoting that hire, and he's doing a good job in terms of promoting the brand of Morgan State. But he did a good job in Bowie State too. Bowie State did a good job, you know, with him too. So, I mean, he's a big hire though. You know, I don't know the circles in terms of like all the collegiate football, but definitely in an HBCU school, he's a big hire. So definitely, I'm glad he's getting treated right. I'm glad he's getting treated right with that attention, because definitely it's well deserved.
Go back to my point about Coach Pugh, but I know y'all gotta go.
I'm here with you, so I'm just letting you know. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I mean, he's one of the last Mohicans. You feel me?
Yeah, he is. He like, yep. He knows what he is in terms of what he represents in terms of HBCU football. He knows what he represents, and he knows like the lineage he has. You know, the players he's produced. You know what I mean? The program. It's not a joke. So yeah, I mean, I feel like anything, it's more on. You know, communications or whatever. It's more his PR team, his media reps. Like, they gotta make sure they hammer that in to say, you know what, this is what it is. Like, you gotta be on nonstop.
Love Coach Pugh, man.
Well, maybe they'll see the video. They're looking for you. Who's this crazy girl talking? Like, she know what's going on. She don't know nothing. And then all of a sudden, they looking on my Twitter, and then they're like, oh, well, let me.
Oh, they gonna love you. Don't get twisted. They gonna love you. Don't do that. They gonna love you. Don't do that.
Yeah, hopefully we get that grand fam love after this. Maybe. Just maybe. We don't want to be adopted. We already kind of adopted a Howard. You know what I'm saying? So we gonna work on our stuff.
You said we're gonna get adopted a Howard? That's what's up.
We are kind of Howard lovers.
I said we, you know, earlier. Like, I went out. They already know.
I see.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for being on. We appreciate you. And hope to have you on again. And again, let us know when it drops. All right. Let us know.
Got you.
All right.
All right, y'all.
Yard Talk HBCU. She is so dope, man. Make sure you follow her on Twitter at Yard Talk HBCU. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And again, don't forget to subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Papyrus Media, at amppapyrusmedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire shows as well as other great content. Hey, thanks again for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yedig deuces. Hey, Mega, do me a favor. Lead us out, big homie. Swag.